Our study tonight deals with the idea of encouragement. All of us from time to time need encouragement. There are a lot of different situations that illustrate to us the need for encouragement. And we could talk for quite a long time about various different situations that illustrate the need for encouragement. It may be a job that's not very pleasant. Might be a job that's uncertain, or maybe a lost job. It may be financial problems, grieving over the death of a loved one. It may be children needing help. It may be a debilitating disease. It may be that we just suffer from aches, pains, loneliness. Maybe being older in age. It may be that we're just very disappointed in someone that we've trusted. And it could be we're disappointed with ourselves. Maybe someone is suffering a burden of guilt. Maybe marriage is not what it ought to be or what you'd like for it to be. There are a lot of divorces in our society. A lot of people have a problem with divorce. It may be that our children have disappointed us, or maybe parents disappointed us. It may be that we're discouraged by the way we're treated by a brother or a sister in the congregation. There's a great deal of addiction to drugs, alcohol, many different substances that people are addicted to. A lot of addiction to pornography. It may be a friend or family member that has a problem with some kind of addiction. It may be that we're just discouraged because we're not as strong a Christian as we know we ought to be. Or sometimes we get to the point where we just sort of feel unappreciated by family or by our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so on and on you could go with all kinds of different situations and scenarios that crop up in our lives from time to time. And I believe if we look, we can find encouragement in any of these situations, anything that comes about in our lives, we can find encouragement in God's Word. So let's think about encouragement a little while. And I want to begin by the idea of belonging to God. We can be encouraged because we belong to the God of heaven. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Bible says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so we are of a few who believe and know the truth, as Paul talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. That we are of them which believe and know the truth. You see, we are a spiritual family. And every part of that family is important. Paul deals with this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In regard to the physical body, and relates that to the body of Christ. The ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. Or the eye to the ear, I don't need you. Each member is vitally important. Each has its own function. The humble, the lowly person will be saved. Those who are lifted up with pride will not, James said in James chapter 4, verse 6. He giveth grace, giveth more grace there. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God will not put up with people who are lifted up with pride. But when we will humble ourselves, as did this thief on the cross in Luke the 23rd chapter there at verse 43, you remember both of these thieves were at the first talking badly about Jesus. But one of them recognized that they were suffering justly for what they had done, and that Jesus had done no wrong. And so he said in verse 43, remember, verse 42, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And who would have thought that a thief would be saved? But because he humbled himself, recognized his spiritual condition, and asked of the Lord to be remembered, then the Lord did so. And at this time, the Lord could save anyone whom he chose, because his will had not yet gone into effect. He's still alive here on earth. And he made the statement he had the power on earth to forgive sins. And so, this thief, it seems evident, humbled himself and was accepted by the Lord. The tie that binds this spiritual relationship that we have is love. I want to read just a few excerpts from passage over in Romans, the 12th chapter. Begins in verse 9 and goes through verse 21, but we'll not take the time to read all of this particular passage. But he says in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another in love. And as he concludes in this chapter, he said in verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The tie that binds us together as a spiritual family is love. You look in verse 17 of that text. He says, recompense no man evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. It doesn't matter who you're dealing with, you be honest, open, above board in your dealings. Because that's who we are. A genuine concern for each other. You look at verse 13. He talks about distributing the necessity of the saints, giving the hospitality. And then verses 15 and 16. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. This is the kind of people that we as children of God are. We have a genuine concern for our fellow man, and especially for those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we stay together, we encourage one another in love, as Paul pointed out in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We might think, well, I'm really not loved, I'm not appreciated. But you are, because of this relationship that we have in this spiritual family. We love each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, of the family of God. There should never come a time in our life as a child of God that we could say to a brother or sister, I don't need you. That's what Paul deals with there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. One part of the body can't say to the other part, I don't need you. Every member of the body is important. Every member has a work to do. Whatever ability I have, the Lord expects me to use that ability in his service. That's what the parable of the talents is all about. Talents were given according to their several ability. They were held accountable for the ability that they had. So each member of the body of Christ is held accountable for what they are able to do. And we work together in accomplishing the task that God has given us to do. So we can take courage from the fact that we belong to God. We are encouraged because of that. We can receive encouragement from the Old Testament. Romans chapter 15, there verse 4, Paul said, whatsoever things are written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patient comfort scripture might have hope. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 5, David is in a situation there, he and his men. They came back to the city where their families were, and their families had been captured. Well, none were killed, but all been captured, and the city burned. When you read that passage, you find David strengthening himself in the Lord. Faced with this dire circumstance, David strengthened himself in the Lord. And he did this by praying, by singing, and in many of the Psalms, Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. David recognized that his help came from the Lord. We too can sing. We can pray. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul said, be careful for nothing, or anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice verse 7 when you do that. He said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you are not anxious about things of this life, but you give yourself to prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. When you are letting your requests be made known to God, then you can have this peace that Paul talked about. In Hebrews chapter 13, there at verse 6, the writer said, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And we all have heard Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5, verse 19, in regard to singing praises to God. The word of Christ dwelling in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalm and hymn, and spiritual song, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. We sing praises to God. We teach and we edify one another in the psalm, hymn, and spiritual songs. We pray to God. And we can take courage just like David did in these dire circumstances. We may have weaknesses, but God's power never diminishes. That's something we need to really understand. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Isaiah said, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But, notice verse 31, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Those who put their trust in the Lord. God is never too tired. He's never too busy to listen. To help. When we feel like life is crushing us and we can't go another step, we can turn to God and He'll renew our strength. Waiting on the Lord is patiently relying on Him to give us strength. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." To Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Are we really relying on the Lord? The Psalms inspire. They comfort. They encourage. When we need a word from the Lord, we can turn to the psalmist. As many times we do from Psalms, the 23rd chapter. The scripture's read many, many times. At graveside services, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." These words give us comfort. They give us consolation. We can take courage from the Old Testament. We can also receive encouragement. We can take courage from the New Testament. God is able to perfect. The word perfect means to mend or repair us and make us strong. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. The writer said, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Then he said in verse 16, "Let us therefore, because we have this high priest that can indeed be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In the short book of Jude, he wrote to those who were vulnerable to heresies and to temptation toward immoral living. And certainly, we have that kind of temptation surrounding us all the time. It's everywhere. Ungodliness and immorality is rampant in all phases of our society. And we as children of God are faced with it on a regular basis. In verse 24 of the book of Jude, he says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling." He's able to keep you from falling. "And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Present you faultless. Well, how is that accomplished? Well, that's accomplished through His cleansing blood. It takes our determination to do all within our power to remain true to His word. But we do sin. John makes a point in his epistle telling us that we can't say that we haven't sinned. We can't say that we don't have sin. In Romans 3:23, Paul said, "All have sinned, come short of the glory of God." So from time to time we do sin. And Isaiah said, "Your sins, your iniquities have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." So when we do sin, we have to make sure that we take the necessary steps to apply the remedy for sin. That's the blood of Christ. These people were living in a time where faith and trust in God's promises were, in many instances, almost non-existent. And so Jude encouraged believers to remain firm in their faith, to put their trust in God and his promises for the future. Because they were living in a time of increased apostasy. Today we are living in the last days. We're much closer to the end than were the original readers of the book of Jude. We're one day closer to eternity today than we were yesterday. We're not assured of tomorrow. Scripture says our life is as a vapor that appears for a little while and then it's gone. And Jesus told his disciples to watch and be ready. Because you don't know the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes. Jesus himself doesn't know. The angels in heaven don't know. Only God knows. So we have to be ready. Even though we live in perilous times, there's a great deal of iniquity and lawlessness all around us. But we must not be afraid or give up in despair. Because as Jude said, God is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. Paul would write in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, or every good word and work. Who does that for us? God does. Jesus himself and God our Father. He does this through his written word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We read it, we can understand it, we can know his will for us. We continue to do what we can to remain faithful to him. We do this by imbibing the teachings of the New Testament, the new covenant of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we are encouraged because of the fact that there is a better world beyond this one. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul said, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, or in due time, we shall reap if we faint not. We're looking for the harvest. We have to keep on keeping on. And as it continues in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. Jesus had this said about him, that he went about doing good. He is our example, Peter said. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example. We should follow his steps. He went about doing good. That's what we're to be doing. And so we cannot grow weary. John chapter 4, there in verse 6. Jesus was physically weary. He said, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. It's later in the day. Jesus was tired physically from walking. We get tired physically sometimes, but we can't give up. My grandfather used to say, it's all right to give out. Just don't ever give up. That's what it's all about. Don't give up. Sometimes we get tired spiritually. That's what we need. When we need to be encouraged from the Word of God. Take courage from God's Word. And to remember that there's a better world beyond this one. He talks there in Galatians 6 about well doing. That means doing works that God has ordained. It's not just what I think is a good work, but what God thinks is a good work. Paul was in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, but the passage didn't stop there. What kind of good works? Which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. God set them in order. It's the works that God determined that we're to be engaged in. And so we need to not be weary. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. Yes, we can get tired at times. Even our Lord did. He refreshed himself and went on about his work. And so must we. We get down sometimes and we say we're down in the dust. We need to turn to God. Strengthen ourselves in the Lord as David did. That's where our strength comes from. It doesn't come from self. Jeremiah said the way of man not in himself. Not in man to walk and direct his steps. We don't have the capabilities on our own. So we have to turn to the Lord. And when we do that, he said, in due season, we're going to reap. I know, and you know, that it's sometimes discouraging to continue to do right. Everybody else around you is involved in sin or ungodliness. You continue to do right and you don't receive any word of thanks. Don't see any tangible results. This congregation has been engaged in a number of programs, methods of teaching, trying to reach the community with the Word of God, and basically seeing no results in bringing people to the assemblies or baptizing someone into Christ. And sometimes it gets discouraging. We have to keep our eyes focused on the eternal reward. 1 Peter chapter 1, there in verse 13. Peter said, wherefore gird up the loins of your man, be sober, and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope to the end. Keep our eyes focused on the eternal reward. Apostle Paul suffered a great deal of physical trials, tribulations, hardships. He names a number of them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 28. He was beaten with rods, whipped with whips. He said, of the Jews, I received 40 stripes, save one, three times. He was stoned, left for dead. He did perils in waters, perils in the wilderness, perils among false brethren. But notice how he refers to these in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction. Now, I wouldn't call those light afflictions, would you? Somebody drag you outside the city and throw rocks at you until you're dead. In fact, the disciples thought Paul was dead. I wouldn't call that a light affliction. Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do you understand that we've got that same hope that Paul had? If they take us out and stone us to death, we've got something far better to look forward to.
than anything this life has to offer. And Paul did this by keeping his mind focused. He said in Philippians 1, verse 23, I'm in a strait betwixt two. As we might paraphrase that, I'm between the rock and the hard place. We use that phrase sometimes. I'm in a strait betwixt two. Having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He goes on to say, it's needful for me to remain. Because he had a work to do. But he'd rather go on and be with the Lord. He kept his mind focused on what was really important. We understand that in heaven, God's going to wipe away all tears. Revelation 2, 21, verse 4. God's going to take care of all our sorrows, our pains. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things have passed away. We're not going to be physical in eternity. We're going to be spirit beings. All the things that we suffer in this life are going to be gone. We have an eternal spiritual body. And we will be forever with the Lord. His presence around that great white throne. Praising, honoring, glorifying God. So shall we ever be with the Lord, Paul told the Thessalonians. So, we have disappointments. We have discouragements. We have hardships. There may be even more and more difficult problems and hardships in our future. We don't know. Sometimes I think it's not looking real good. Other times I think it's looking up. But we don't know what the future holds. I told somebody the other day, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And so we have to be steadfast, as Paul said to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God's not going to forget what we're doing for Him. Jesus made the point that if we just give a cup of cold water, in His name, we're not going to lose our reward. It's a very simple thing. The Lord remembers those things. So, our God is perfectly able to comfort us. Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, there at verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. God comforts us so we can comfort others. How do we do that? Listen to the rest of the verse. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. The comfort we receive from God enables us to comfort others with that same comfort. And remember, someday we're going to reap. If we faint not. So let's continue to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And John was directed to write Revelation chapter 3. There are verses 1 through 3. As he writes to the church there in Sardis. He said in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Be watchful. Strengthen the things that remain. We have to keep doing that day after day. He said, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. If we don't watch, if we're not doing everything within our power to be ready for the Lord, he's going to come on us as a thief. But if we'll watch and be ready, we can be assured of that eternal reward. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. We all need encouragement from time to time. We need to take our encouragement, take courage from God's word, from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, from the fact that we have something far greater to look forward to than anything this life has to offer. That makes it all worthwhile. If you're not a child of God, you don't have this hope. The only one who has this hope are those who have been saved through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, been added to the family of God, a part of the spiritual family we're talking about. If you are part of the spiritual family, you realize that you have lost your hope. You need to be encouraged from God's word. Renew your faith. Renew your dedication. If there's sin in your life that needs to be acknowledged publicly, you can do that this afternoon. We'll pray with you and for you. The Lord will forgive you. If you're in this audience, you need to respond to the Lord's invitation. We invite you to come. We stand and sing for your encouragement.